Okay, grab your Bibles. We got some extras on the back table. If you need one, please hop on up, go grab one. But turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The scripture today, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. In the English Standard Version, Luke 9, 23 says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The New Living Translation says it this way: "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me." So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What are some practical steps to help me turn from my selfish ways? What does it mean to take up your cross? What does it mean to be called a Christian? And how do I live that out today? Well, these questions seem to keep coming up year after year, month after month, day after day, as I strive to live out my faith before a holy God, my family and friends, and the glorious church that Jesus established. When I was younger, I remember looking around the people that came to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. You know, the old folks, the grandmas and grandpas of the crowd. And I kind of noticed that some of them were smiling from ear to ear, and they had a glow about them, and it made me smile. Others had a grumpy frown on their face, and that kind of confused me. So I started the process of trying to figure out why some were happy while others were miserable. Over the years, I learned that the grumpy ones were preoccupied by life's worries. They invested way too much of their happiness in their surroundings, their possessions, their glory. While the ones who were happy spent most of their time pouring into the lives of others, always giving of themselves, helping others. It seems as though they never ran out of joy. The more they gave, the more they got in return. You've heard people say, "I got so much more out of that than I gave." How is that possible? You know, the math just doesn't add up, right? So how can you give, 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 and yet receive even more? The answer, this is how your Heavenly Father created you. He made you for goodness. He made you for greatness. He made you for selflessness. He made you for others, for their benefit, for their need, not yours. He made you for them. Do you want to know the secret of life? It's not about you. Sorry. It's not. It's not about you. It's not about me. Now, this is a stark contrast to the American dream. Make tons of money, buy a house with a white picket fence, have 2.5 kids, vacation in the Bahamas, hit the lake on the weekends, me, 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 me. Is the American dream bad? Only if it possesses you. Only if it drives you. Now, God gave us the ability to use our brains to do our jobs and to do it well. We want to provide for our family, and that's a good thing. But how far is too far? Where do we draw the line? If I give 10% to the church, am I off the hook? Can I do whatever I want after that? Oh, those are great questions. Where do we begin? Let's look at Scripture. According to Jesus, what would be the number one commandment? Love God, right? In Matthew 22:36-39, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So what's number one? What's number two? Love others, right. So this is called the great commandment. Well, what would be the third? How about the great commission? Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Go and make disciples. Pretty simple, right? Yeah. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? Love God, love others, make disciples. Now, you may be saying, "Denny, I've heard all about that before. How do I do that? How do I surrender everything? How do I not be selfish? How do I make it my focus to serve others? You know, I think we're asking the wrong questions. We should be asking ourselves, do I want to surrender everything? Do I want to be selfless? Do I want to make my focus serving others? Do you? Do you really? For some of you, aren't you tired of living a lie? Aren't you tired of calling yourself a Christian and not living like one? Aren't you tired of struggling and fighting God with this? Are you ready to surrender? I don't remember much, but I do remember the first time I accepted Jesus when I was 7 years old. I was in First Baptist Church of Long Beach, California, okay? So the main focus of being 7 years old is how do I make the absolute most perfect paper airplane out of the church bulletin, right? And evidently that was Rodney's goal as well. So we would sit in church and we would fold and we would crimp and we would, you know, manipulate this amazing bulletin into the most glorious paper airplane anybody had ever seen. Because the goal was, as you go out the church, there's some steps, about like 5 or 10 steps. 5 or 10? Yeah, anyway. That's random. And you take that, you just chuck it. And whoever's went the furthest won that day. And it's like, dun 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 dun. You know, it's like, yay, you get to gloat, you know, and then, yeah, you know, kind of dog it on the other one. Well, there was a craft to building the absolute perfect paper airplane. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever done that in church before, but Rodney and I had it down to a science, right? You could only do so much with this size of paper. So what do? You got to have to tear it. You got to tear the paper to give yours, you know, a new edge, you know, a new wing design or something like that. But you can't make any noise because Dad, with his hand, would come around and thump your ear really hard and, oh, that would hurt. So you didn't want to make any noise, all right? So we designed a way to tear the paper without making any noise at all. We would fold it and crease it and then lick it. And then fold it back and crease it and lick it again. And, oh, my gosh, when you tear the paper, it was beautiful. And so, on with the craft. We would work and try to get it just right. And we were timed. I mean, you know, the sermon only lasts so long, so we knew, you know, we only had a certain amount of time to get this done. So we would continue and work our craft, and week after week, one would be glorious over the other one, and Rodney normally won because he always did just about everything else anyway. So, no chip on the shoulder, second child, nope, so I'm all good, I'm all good. So here we were sitting, and it's just about time for the last song, you know. And so we stand up for the invitation, and we're singing. And then all of a sudden, we're standing there, and Rodney takes off. And I'm going, oh, he's so busted. The service is not over. You know, this is not good. He's, you know, and he goes down to the end of the aisle, and he turns left. And I'm so confused because you turn right, that's to go outside, and that's our normal thing. So he turns left, and I'm going, what is the deal? And so I look back at Mom and Dad to see if, you know, if they're frowning or what they're doing, and they're smiling, for goodness sake. And I thought, well, shoot, if he's going to get away with it, I'm going. So here I took off, and I follow him, and we find ourselves down in the front of the church, standing with the pastor. And he's talking to us, mainly talking to Rodney, but he's talking to us. And then he said, Corky and Carol, did you know your boys were going to come forward this morning? They said, no, we didn't. Well, tell you what, let's talk in my office afterwards. So, okay, that's good. So service ended. So here I'm sitting in the preacher's office. Feels like the principal's office, you know. I'm sitting there looking at him, looking at Rodney, and he's asking Rodney a bunch of questions, and I'm just going, oh, dear Lord, please don't let him ask me anything, you know. And all of a sudden, he looks at me, and he asks me a question, and I, you know, look at Rodney and look at him, and I shake my head, yes. Well, you grew up Southern Baptist, that's all you need. They get the little saved stamp, and they thump it on your forehead, and you are signed, sealed, and delivered, right? So from that moment on, I was a saved Christian. No worries. Life goes on. I'm 16 now. We've already moved to Springfield, Missouri. We're going to Glendale Baptist Church. And there's a revival in town at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds. And James Robison is preaching. Well, Baptists love revivals. And so we thought, what the heck, let's go. And so the problem was, we kind of was running a little late, and that big old farm building, you can't tell where the entrance and the exit is, you know, it's where the cows and horses, I grew up in L.A., so have no clue about that stuff. So, well, we actually go in the wrong part, the wrong entrance, and it was, all of a sudden, we see the ferns and the choir, and, you know, everything's right there. It's, oh, great. And we were hoping to sneak in the back and grab the last, you know, seat in the back, you know. But the only thing available was the very front row. No problem. We have our Thompson NIV chain Bibles, so we're our study Bibles, so we're good. We're going to sit on the front row. We're going to nod in agreement as the pastor makes a good point, you know, and take notes along the way, and everything's good. We can handle sitting on the front row. It's okay. So, service goes by. Everything's go great. Typical revival service. We stand and sing Just As I Am. And, you know, we were planning on leaving just as we were, but here we are. And so all of a sudden, the evangelist quiets the singing and has the organist and pianist keep playing. And he said something I'd heard 1,000 times before. He said, if you were to walk out of this building tonight and step out into the street and get hit by a bus, where would you spend eternity? Now, I'm 16 years old, right? Probably a little immature for 16, but here's where my mind went. Okay, I'm leaving the building. I'm walking outside. I'm stepping out onto off the curb into the street. All of a sudden, I see this big old bus. Wah, wah, smash. And I'm thinking, does my head splatter? Does it blood go? What do I, you know, I'm going through all this, you know, gymnastics about you being hit by a bus. And all of a sudden, okay, I die. Oh. Eternity. Wait a minute. I kind of play the rewind button, you know, all the way back sitting in the pastor's office, 7 years old, looking at Rodney, looking and shaking my head, yes, and I'm going, I have never surrendered my whole life to Jesus. I know so much more than I did when I was seven. Oh my goodness. I've never surrendered everything to him. What am I gonna do? It's like, can that be true? Yeah, okay. Well, this is awkward. All right, so I bow my head and I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know about you, but, you know, the little angel devil thing pops up, you know, and I'm thinking, no, this angel says, this is the right thing to do. You need to go ahead and, you know, you surrender. It's God, you know God is speaking to you. It's okay. You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is right. And then all of a sudden the devil pops up and says, what are you thinking? Come on. You're a leader in your youth group. Every time Youth Sunday rolls around, Rodney preaches. You lead the music. What are your other friends going to say? What is Rodney going to say? What is your mom and dad going to say? Oh, my gosh, this is terrible. You can't do this. You know, it's like, but it's like the overwhelming power. I just felt God is like, no, this is the right thing to do. Well, we were on the front row, so the only thing I needed to do was take 3 steps, and I was there, right? So it wasn't that far. But just as I lifted up my head to take a step, guess who was already down front? Rodney! He'd already take 3 steps for and I went, Joe! He did it to me again! Doggone it! So here I am, bowing ahead, go, God, I can't do it now. Rodney's already down front. Oh, they're going to say, you're just following Rodney. You're just doing everything Rodney does. So I was like, argh. So here I'm in this kind of personal turmoil. And Dad, bless his heart, comes over, puts his arm around me, said, son, what's wrong? I went, what's your dad going to do with it? Because Rodney's doing it. Somehow he understood that. He said, son, do you want me to go down with you? And I went, okay. So we take 3 steps forward, and I accepted Christ. It was beautiful. It was glorious. Rodney was okay with it. My youth group friends were okay with it. My church was okay with it. My mom and dad were okay with it. It was awesome. It was just awesome. So you're not 7. You're not 16, right? You've lived some life. Some of you are ready for a new faith, you know? Some of you are still struggling with your selfishness. It's okay, I've been there, and I struggle with it every single day. God still loves you. He just doesn't want to leave you there. He's just as approachable today as he will be tomorrow. God is waiting for you. When you get tired of being the boss, when you get tired of calling the shots, when you get tired of handling it all and carrying the weight, Jesus will be waiting for you. Now, for those of you who are ready for a fresh start, to really do this, to surrender everything, I've got some things that can help you, okay? Number one, surrender. Give it up. Give it all away. Let go of everything. Let God be God. Let him take the weight off your shoulders. Let him forgive you. Let him bless you. Let him encourage you, comfort you, and give you peace, and give you joy, and give you freedom. There's nothing like surrendering and walking in freedom, knowing that God has forgiven you. And you just float. It's just awesome. Number two, and you might want to write these down if you want to. I think there's seven of them. Yeah. Okay, so number two, find time to pray every day. Spend time with the Father who made you, who created you. Whether it's 15 seconds or 30 minutes, it doesn't matter. Spend time with God. I can't believe that Facebook and TV and video games can take up so much time off my plate every single day, and I struggle with giving God more than, 10 minutes? How is that possible? I'm making choices. I'm making priorities. You know, I have to schedule it on my phone to spend time with God. So I put it there as an appointment. I need to do this. If that helps you, go for it. But honor God by giving some of your day. Focus on him completely. Let those other things just wash away. Number three, find someone to pray with, someone to share your concerns, your joys, your burdens, and in return, you pray for them. You take on their concerns. You focus on their needs. Talk or text to them every single day or at least once a week. Let them know you're praying for them. You're focusing on others. Number four, find someone who doesn't know Jesus and pray for them. Now, if we don't start this intentionally, one day we'll go, and then the next day we'll go, and the next day we'll go, and we'll simply miss the opportunity to focus on somebody that God brings about to our attention that doesn't know Jesus. Pray for them specifically. Ask God to give you, wisdom to know how to interact, right? And how to just continue that relationship. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit more. Number five, find time to read the scriptures every day. Whether it's one verse or a whole chapter, challenge yourself to read one verse a day. Everybody can do that, right? Then build on it. Now, when I get really lazy and I don't exercise, and then I try to go back and do the 8-minute ab. Have you seen that guy in the leotard? It's hysterical. But when I try to go back, there is absolutely no way I can do the 8-minute ab. As you can tell, I'm trying to suck it in to make it look like I've actually done it. But when I try, there's absolutely no way that I can do all 8 minutes. It's like, grasping for air. But instead of 25 reps per thing or whatever they do, exercise, then I just do two, and then I lay and kind of recover until the next one comes up. I know it's sad, isn't it? But then the next day I'll go to three, and then the next day four, five, and slowly by the week's end, maybe I'm doing 10 reps out of 25 for each one. And then the next week after that, I'm building on that. In 2 months, I'm doing all 8 minutes, and I'm going, all that kind of stuff, and Paula just laughs at me. But anyway, the idea is start small, start manageable, but be faithful. If I wasn't faithful in the 8-minute abs, there's no way I could do all 8 minutes. But if I start small and reading the scriptures and I'm faithful, do it every single day, then in 2 months, 3 months, man, I'm spending some amazing quality time with the Father who created me, who I'm choosing to do Facebook and Netflix and blah, blah, blah over spending time with God. Seems kind of pathetic, doesn't it? Number six, that many. Find a life group and be faithful. This generation talks about doing life. Be there. show up. It's important, okay? Whenever you've got an opportunity to rub elbows with your brothers and sisters, they become your family. When you're missing, you may not think, it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. I say that because I'm a life group leader and it's at my house. And, you know, actually, I can't miss because it's actually my house. But, you know, for the rest of you, Paul and I get excited about it. And I'm sure your life group leader does the same. They get excited praying for you and waiting for you to come. And when you miss, it's just like, it's just not the same. Okay. Number 7, find a place to serve, dig in, make a difference. Do you want this life to make sense? Do you want to have joy? Do you want to have purpose? Look beyond yourself and give. Give of your time, your heart, your attention, whatever you have to give. Give with a joyful heart, knowing that you will get way more than you give. Acts 20:35 says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said himself, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So ask yourself, what am I doing at Freshwater? Have I found a place to serve? Am I only attending and observing? Or am I really serving? And I can still hear you. But Denny, what do I do? How do I do it? That's a great question, so I'm glad you asked. First, is Jessica Behrens here? Is she back with the kids? Okay, well, y'all know Jess. If you don't, find her. Jess is our children's director, and she is just phenomenal, okay? Jeff Putman, raise your hand, Jeff. Come on, stud. Jeff is our outreach director, and he's amazing, does an amazing job with the outreach. Nikki Beeman, right there, raise your hand, Nick. Hire Nikki, wave it, all right. Nikki is our connections director, taking care of chairs and prayers and the greeters and the coffee and just a bunch of stuff. All right, these three folks can definitely use you, and I'm going to start with Jessica and the children's ministry. All right, so here's my thought, and tell me if I'm crazy. I think that every single one of you needs to spend at least 2 weeks in the children's ministry. Here's the reason why, okay? Those are our kids. They're our kids. You need to be there. So, I can't teach. I don't want you to teach. I just want you to observe. I just want you to observe. No responsibilities, but just observe for 2 weeks, okay? Try it. I had no idea way back in the day that I would even be a halfway decent teacher, and I'm still going, But with seventh grade boys, unless I took that first step and tried it, I wouldn't know until I tried. So give it a shot. Just go look. Just go see. So, everybody, you got one of these? Pull it out. I'm preaching, so you know it's going to be used today. Go to freshwatersgf.com. I'll wait for you. The sermon's only 30 minutes. You normally get 40, so I could wait 10 minutes. Okay, everybody get it out? freshwatersgf.com. We good? Top right, there's a little menu thing. Click that, and then under About, touch that. And you see that word ministries? Touch that. I'm sorry. So we go back. Menu, About, underneath, right under Jesus. It's a great place for that to be. About, and then ministries. We good? Then you see Freshwater Ministries, got Able, Chairs and Prayers, Connections, Discipleship, His Kids, stop. His Kids. See it? More info. Touch it. Got it? Scroll down. Look! Get in touch. There's a get in touch button. Wow! Interested in getting involved? Everybody do this. Yes, I am interested in getting involved. Touch. And then see, name, even if, like, email address, and it says volunteer, the very first one, his kids. Now, I know everybody has their own gifting, and it's totally okay. If you think, you know, there's just absolutely no way I could even go observe, I don't know, medical condition, I'm not sure why, but it could happen, right? There's Connect Team, which is Nikki. There's a Worship Team, which is Tori and Justin and TJ. So you could contact those folks. There's a Tech Team, which is Cornelius. There he is. And there's other. Look, there's other. So even if you go, I don't want to do any of that, please click other. And just in the message say, I'm scared stupid like Denny, and I have no idea what to do. But I want to talk to somebody about serving, okay? We will get in touch with you, okay? Is everybody done with that? Shake your head yes like a little puppy dogs in the back of station wagons. Good. You know those old dogs? Never mind. I'm just showing my age again. All right, so if you haven't done that, do that, please. You know, we're not going to leave you stranded. We're not going to throw you with a bunch of kids and go, hey, good luck, I'm out of here. We're going to train you. No matter what you pick, Nikki's going to train you in connections. Jeff's going to invite you to the outreach team meeting and just kind of, you know, kind of mold you and shape you and see if you have any questions. And however much you want to give, that's how much he'll take, right? And so it's just come, be involved. Jessica is not going to throw you in with a bunch of kids and say, here's your lesson, have fun, good luck. Just observe and then pray. Say, God, is this the spot? Is this the spot I need to be in? That'd be a good thing. All right, so going back to, are you willing to surrender everything or do you want to just pick and choose your areas? You know, I'll do a little bit of this and I'll ignore this and, you know, I'll hang on to that. It's amazing the things that keep us from having freedom is the sin that we hold on to so tightly. And there's absolutely no way you could have freedom in Christ by carrying this. So why are we carrying it? Let it go. And I'm not going to sing the Frozen song, I promise. Just drop it. Quit carrying it. And then you've got free hands now. You're not carrying the load. Go find somebody, you know, give somebody a hug. Go serve somebody. Make the focus about somebody else, not you. Do you want freedom? Do you want real freedom? Surrender everything. You know, you might be saying, I don't think I can. You won't know until you try. You're going to be in the prison until you give it a shot. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Give us a willing and selfless heart, and let's see what God can do with it. Which kind of brings me about to Tom Watkins' neighborhood. So, why are we there? What do we hope to accomplish? And you may be asking yourself, how can I help? That warms my heart. All right, let's turn to Scripture again. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, for there will never cease to be the poor in your land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And when Jesus walked into the synagogue for one of the first times it was recorded, he opened up the scrolls and he read this passage out of Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Why are we here? To bring good news to the poor, to love others, to serve others. Makes no difference who they are. We love them. A freshwater bought a house. Instead of building a building, like a church building and stuff, they do something crazy and go, you know what? Our mission is Tom Watkins' neighborhood. Let's just buy a house in Tom Watkins and put missionaries in that house and do love from that house. At one point in time, we were going to call it the Love Hub. JT is cringing. She can say, no, don't say it, don't say it. I even made a little logo. It was the stupidest thing ever. So anyway, on October 26, 2015, Freshwater bought the house, the Freshwater house. After some renovation, Paul and I moved in as urban missionaries on December 19th, 2015. Paul and I didn't have a clue what we were doing. The only thing we knew is that Jesus loved us, and he commanded us to love others. We found out that Tom Watkins is actually the friendliest neighborhood we've ever lived in. When we lived on the southeast part of town, you know, we'd come home from work, garage door go up, car would go in, garage door go down. Every once in a while, I'd go, hey, neighbor. And then, you know, that was about it. Paula was much better at being nice to neighbors than I was. All full disclosure. Without a garage at the Freshwater house, when you get out of the car, we're greeted by our neighbors and immediately, and it warms my heart. Bobby yells, hey, Danny, what's up? Hey, Bobby, how you doing? It's awesome. It really is a front porch community. I think in part because, you know, there are some in the neighborhood that might steal something, you know, or hurt somebody. So the folks kind of know they kind of have to watch out for each other. They realize they need each other, and so they make it a point to know their neighbors. And it's wonderful. I don't think I ever want to live anywhere else. Now, do we have folks on the street who do drugs? Yeah. Do we have a registered sex offender on our street? Yeah, we do. Do they need Jesus? Absolutely. We will always be cautious of those who might want to do us harm when we're doing block parties or other church events. But remember what Jesus said in Luke 5:31. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Instead of being overly paranoid, why don't we pray for them and ask God to use us in a mighty way to show them Jesus? So, what can you do? First, pray. Pray for our neighbors that we live around. Pray for the Freshwater families that live in the neighborhood. Javi and Laura, Jessica, Isaac and Faith, TJ and Denver. The Betts family, it's just, we've got folks right there. We need to love on them, okay, and pray for them. Second, participate. Neighbors Helping Neighbors in the Cleanup Day is coming up May the 6th. It's a glorious time to get into the neighborhood and just serve other people. And I want to thank the people who have already volunteered as a work coordinate projects, work project coordinator, yeah. And there, we're going to be building some more teams around them to go help. We're going to be helping here at the school with the big old dumpster stuff. Anyway, it's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, May 6th. Storytellers with the Kids starts, I believe, is it May 9th? May 2nd, okay? That's right around the corner. Tuesdays from 6 to 7 for about 8 weeks through the end of June. And it's going to be at the Freshwater House. We've got this huge grass area, so we're going to throw blankets down and have the kids come for snacks and read with them. It is wonderful. Every Tuesday, starting May 2nd, from 6 to 7. We're going to have block parties this summer on Hoffman Street, but also hopefully on Park and Clifton as well, where our other Freshwater families live. Number 3, find your mission where you live. I love Campus Crusade for Christ many, many years ago when they simply said, make a friend, be a friend, lead a friend to Jesus. And it's so true. You don't have to live in Tom Watkins' neighborhood to be a light in the darkness, to be Jesus for somebody. So make a friend, be nice, be kind, you know? Find out who your neighbors are. Invite them over for a burger, barbecue, or whatever on a Saturday afternoon. Invite them to Freshwater Church after you make that connection. Please don't hit them with that first thing unless they know you. You scare them to death, right? Be nice to them. Make a friend. be a friend. If they need something, be there for them. Show them Jesus. If they never return the lawnmower, you know, it's just a lawnmower, right? Be a friend. Third is bring a friend to Jesus. After you've invested into their lives, they're going to know there's something different about you. There's something about going the extra mile that Jesus has called you to. It will never always be easy. Sometimes it's just going to be dead on right hard. But again, remember, it's not about you. Why are we here? We're here to serve others. You know, time is so short. Since we've moved in, three sweet folks have passed away. Two from old age and one from a drowning. And they were all on our street. I wish I had more time. I wish I watched less TV. I wish I got to know my neighbors better. I wish I were less selfish and more selfless. I want to turn my wish list into a, dear Jesus, let me get this done list. Every single day I make choices. Will I spend time in prayer, reading the scriptures, talking to my neighbors, being kind, gracious, looking for opportunities to be Jesus to them and for them? Or will I spend too much time watching TV, Netflix, or video games? What swallows up your free time? What do you spend too much over here and not enough over here? What is your guilty pleasure? Is it keeping you from doing what God has called you to do? Do you need to release that? Do you need to surrender everything? Are you willing to surrender everything? If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. As the band comes up, I want to talk a little bit more about taking up your cross. So guys, come on up. Get ready. What does it mean to take up your cross? In Jesus' day, a cross wasn't just a symbol of pain and suffering. It was mainly a symbol of death. What Jesus is saying is that we need to put to death our own plans and desires and then turn our lives over to Jesus and do his will every day. The thing that is holding us back, the weight that we are carrying, he wants us to put that to death. You see, Jesus doesn't simply call us to believe that he existed or even to believe that he can save us. He calls us to commit our whole lives to him, to trust him alone for salvation, and then to follow him as disciples. I need Jesus every day. I need to surrender. I need to die to my selfishness and follow him every single day. I need to stop calling myself a Christian and start being a Christian. Don't be satisfied with anything less. There is no greater joy in life than following Jesus every day. You don't have to carry the weight. There is freedom. There is freedom. Are you ready to surrender? And some of our pastors and deacons will be in the back, ready to pray with you. If God is speaking to you right now to let go of some things, please feel free to go back and pray with them while we stand and sing. Will you please stand?